We have two scriptures today. The first one is from Proverbs chapters 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, all people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, and when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. And now from John. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, she will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. She won't draw attention to herself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have said and done. She will honor me. She will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. That's the end of our scripture for today.
Thank you, Candy. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, make your presence known to us here this day. May your word be illuminated, and may our hearts and minds be open to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost and encountered the Spirit's presence in the fire and the wind, and in the sound of our own tongues praising God in three or more different languages. This week, we mark the completion of the Holy Circle with Trinity Sunday. And here we get to glimpse yet another side of God. Now, before I lose those of you who have self-identified as Unitarian, I'd like to give you permission to be expansive here. If the Trinity metaphor doesn't work for you, please feel free to grab on to a metaphor that does, that really illuminates for you the sense of a complex, relational, dynamic God. So last week, as many of you noted, I tweaked the Pentecost story's language just a bit to introduce some gender parity. True, it only yielded one female Trinity member out of three. And yet, I wonder if it still didn't open a door, particularly for the women in the congregation. I dare say that God transcends gender, race, sexual orientation, and any other human category we can imagine. Yet what a gift it can be to catch a glimpse of our own identities in God, and vice versa. Well, lo and behold, this week's Old Testament lectionary passage serves up a text that required no tweaking. Meet Proverbs Woman Wisdom. Unlike many of the women found in this Old Testament collection of wisdom. She is neither a subservient wife nor a foolish prostitute. She cannot be confined to a home or to a brothel. She is out and about and in the thick of things. She is calling out loudly, raising her voice to all people, from the city's heights to the crossroads to its entrance gates. Does she sound at all like the spirit of wind and fire? In her boldness, creative energy, and transcendence, definitely. And yet, unlike wind and fire, woman wisdom does have her feet firmly planted to the ground. And rather than making holy messes, she is more likely to create order out of chaos, drawing circles around the face of the deep, setting limits to the seas, co-creating and defining as God's partner and even an aspect of God, present since the very beginning of time. I don't know about you, but I like the character of woman wisdom a lot. She mixes intuition with common sense, balances chutzpah with strength and grace, grounds creative expansiveness with practical boundaries. Yet, in the age in which we live, capital W wisdom as a concept can seem a bit out of touch. The more global and pluralistic our culture becomes, the more we are forced to acknowledge that there are as many truths as there are life experiences and identities. Polarized ideologies compete for airtime, bitterly contradicting one another, and sometimes even themselves. And with hindsight, the truths by which our ancestors and we have lived our lives are often called into question. Research's facts and figures are constantly debunked by new and better information. And then there are failed experiments, like the current catastrophic oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The ground shifts unnervingly beneath our feet. What are we, as people of God, supposed to do? Where is God in all of this? If a figure like woman wisdom seems out of place in the Bible, it's in part because she is the product of earlier religious practices, tracing her roots to Egyptian and Mesopotamian goddess worship. Early Christianity similarly drew upon pagan sources and Hellenistic philosophy in addition to the Judaism of its founders. It has never really been possible for faith or for wisdom not to be some version of a pluralistic melting pot. Purity has always been a bit of a myth. And therein lies the strength and the richness of woman wisdom. In spreading her wings to embrace all of creation from the beginning of time, she acknowledges that on the basis of our unique lived experiences, each and every one of us possess a piece of the wisdom puzzle. There are no monopolies on woman wisdom. In fact, we could draw closer to God, woman wisdom, and one another by more actively acknowledging and living into our mutual interdependence, individually and collectively. But woman wisdom does not live exclusively in the land of idealism, and neither should we. There are staggeringly practical reasons why we need one another to expose and inform our blind spots. Listen to this true story. Scientists at NASA built a gun specifically to launch standard 4-pound dead chickens at the windshields of airliners, military jets, and the space shuttle, all traveling at maximum velocity. The idea was to simulate the frequent incidents of collisions with high-flying birds in order to test the strength of the windshields. British engineers heard about the gun and were eager to try it on the windshields of their new high-speed trains. Arrangements were made, and a gun was sent to the British engineers. When the gun was fired, the engineers stood shocked as the chicken hurled out of the barrel, crashed into the shatterproof shield, smashed it to smithereens, blasted through the control console, snapped the engineer's backrest in two, and embedded itself in the wall of the cabin like an arrow shot from a bow. The horrified Brits sent NASA the disastrous results of the experiment, along with the designs of the windshield, and begged the US scientists for suggestions. NASA responded with a one-line memo: "Defrost the chicken." Yes, that's a pretty silly example, but you get the point. Woman wisdom comes to life in a book of common sense wisdom. Yet interdependence does not mean merging or losing the boundaries that define us, one from another. If no limits had been drawn on the sea or the sky, there would be no distinct land masses to call home, only murky waters or air in which to drown or helplessly float away. Although potential chaos is never too far away, structure is finely woven into the very fabric of creation, a joint effort of God and woman wisdom. Now, I don't mean to imply that wisdom or truth have been neatly tied up with a bow. Certainly, all of the strife in the world this very day tells us that is not so. Perhaps that is part of the reason this text occurs within the frame of creation. For the work of co-creation is never done. It is the ongoing labor of a dynamic God and all that God has created. And the same could be said for Revelation. For Jesus tells us that the Spirit of truth has been sent to us, to gently take us by the hand, guiding and instructing us, yes, yet pointing us all the while to the God of creation and salvation. But Jesus also indicates that we aren't yet ready to hear all that the Spirit has to say to us. And so we know that this will be an ongoing process, or better yet, a dance. Not a dirge, but a lively, spirited dance. For when all is said and done, woman wisdom tells us that she and Creator God delight in the human race. So let us gather our partners for this discernment dance. The knowledge of wise ones throughout the world and throughout the ages, our lived experiences and all that they have taught us, one another, and our still speaking God in three persons. Let us savor this time together, and let it feed and sustain us. For there will continue to be challenges as large as the BP oil spill and as small as personal addictions, mental illness, and other illness. We simply don't have all the answers up front. but what we will have is presence. We have the presence of a God who loves us no matter what, and who promises to share all things with us in due time. Amen.